everyone, welcome to Story Nerds, the podcast. I'm Hannah Davis.
I'm Jessica Kay.
And today we are going through talking about our favorite Thanksgiving episodes. Now, in the intro on Facebook and the video, Jess talked a little bit about one of her favorite Thanksgiving episodes, which is New Girl. Jess, can you tell me more about this episode really quick? Go into it a little bit more and tell me some more funny highlights.
So, New Girl Thanksgiving episodes. I pretty much covered the one I was talking about, which was, I think, the season two one. But another funny point is that in the season one Thanksgiving episode, Jess is still quite new to the loft. It is called New Girl because she is the new housemate in a loft of three other guys. And so it's her first Thanksgiving with them. And Schmidt is complaining that Thanksgiving is the least sexy holiday of the year. And that's his plot line for like the whole episode. He's whinging about how he can't pick up women on Thanksgiving. There's nothing sexy about it.
Is it Christmas because we all stuff ourselves Santa. So fat every day? Like, I don't understand how sexy or how Thanksgiving can't be sexy.
How, like, or is sexy,
I don't
holiday.
Know, is
I
sexy.
I think he makes a point that like Martin Luther King Day is sexier than Thanksgiving.
I have no idea how that is. I don't even know how a holiday could be sexy. I mean, like, Christmas is romantic, but not sexy.
You're going to have to watch the episode to find
out. I guess. I mean, to me, the only time, like, the only holiday that could be considered as sexy is Halloween because of all of the sexy girl outfits. But to
That's
me...
true. Or New Year's could have some things going for
yeah,
it.
But I, maybe... But I'd probably still call that more romantic than sexy.
Yeah, Valentine's true. Well, look, Day. Schmidt has a one-track mind.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
But yes, it is very funny. There is another one that is season four, where I think it was season four. Jess is trying to impress a guy, and they get a turkey, and... I don't know, they didn't take it out early enough, something, it's frozen, so they're trying all these things to defrost it, and it won't fit in the oven, it's too big, and so then they put it in the dryer, and it's tumbling in the dryer, and then there's, like, this big crisis, I don't remember what the crisis was, but something happened, and they're, like, off dealing with this big crisis, and it's snowballing, and then at some point in the episode, there's just this bang, and then a blackened turkey tumbles out of the laundry room. That was pretty good too.
Oh man.
So, yeah, New Girl, it's where it's at. Tell me more about yours.
Well, okay, New Girl's where it's at for you, but Friends, it's where it's at for me. We talked about in the intro about my favorite episode ever in Friends, and obviously favorite Thanksgiving episode is, well, I don't know, favorite episode ever, that's a hard challenge, but the favorite Thanksgiving episode for sure is got to be the football one, the one with all the football, which I think takes place in season two or three.
It's early on, two. Yeah, it's an
two.
Early one.
It's definitely
Monica had short
two.
Hair.
Yes, she did. And, of course, Monica and Ross get into this huge sibling rivalry about the football game. And so that, honestly, is most of the entire episode is them playing this football game. And it's hilarious because Rachel's there just kind of going, well, I don't know how to play football, but here, throw it to me, throw it to me. And Phoebe, like, just is off in la-la land. Like, you meant that's what, I don't know, this is my first huddle. And, like, things like that. I didn't know that's what you meant for me to do.
And Chandler and Joey are fighting over the foreign chick
who she's interested in.
So they're distracted.
Because Chandler had just broken up or gotten dumped by,
is that chick who
was with the guy he sat in the box for? I can't remember her name, but Chandler had just, he was feeling awful. I think it was it Janice at that point in time? He was feeling
awful.
Was it
Janice or was it the other one he sat in the box for?
Yeah. No.
I love that one.
That was the box episode. Yep, Chandler's in the box.
I love the box episode.
Yeah.
He, like, pokes his finger out the hole and waves goodbye.
Anyway, yeah, they're fighting over the foreign woman. I love it when Chandler makes Joey talk about how the Netherlands aren't a real place.
Yes. He thinks he means Neverland. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Oh, that makes me laugh so hard. But yeah, that whole episode, just one of my absolute favorite episodes ever in the history of Friends. But okay, I have to talk about Naomi next one really quick. So I could go through and list off a bunch of more Friends ones, and I probably will. But I'm going to list off some Gilmore Girls here.
I don't think I've ever seen a Gilmore Girls Thanksgiving episode. I've
I
only seen a
know.
little bit of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, okay. There's a few in the series. I think there's probably three or four, maybe. They know that there's a Christmas one too, a couple Christmas ones. But the one I'm talking about is in season three, and it's called A Deep Fried Korean Thanksgiving. And it's this episode where at the beginning of the episode, they didn't really think that they had a lot of Thanksgivings to go to. They just had like Lorelai and Rory basically just had a couple to stop at, and that was it. And instead,
To go to. So,
yeah.
like, people go around to each other's. You don't just have like a family dinner like at Christmas.
Well, I mean, yeah, like that's kind of the general gist. But for Rory and Lorelai, their family is their town, and so everyone keeps inviting them. So they go to one at Luke's, one at Lane's. One at Suki's and then one at Lorelai's parents. And I think it was, if I remember right, it was the one at Lorelai's parents that she was not planning on going to. And then they're like, well, of course you're coming for Thanksgiving. She's like, oh, I guess we're going for Thanksgiving.
I
And
would save
it's
all my stomach room for
so,
Suki's. Mm-hmm.
I love just like the kind of the like hopping of all the different Thanksgivings. Like the whole episode is just this like one big holiday celebration with every single person from the cast. And I, by the end of it, they're like so full, and then of course, in typical fashion, they're like, "Well, we can eat some more." I think in that episode, that's the one where that I think that's the one where they deep fry the turkey. Like Suki's in a relationship with Jackson, and Jackson's family decides it would be funny to, or not funny, but fun. To literally deep fry a turkey, and Suki, being the chef, is like freaking out. And it's so funny to watch Suki go, "What do I do? You know, don't burn yourself." And then she's like, "Okay, well." And then by the end of it, she has a few in her, and she's a lot more relaxed. The one, yeah, that's one of my absolute favorite Thanksgiving episodes. If you want to go watch a Thanksgiving episode today, that's definitely one that I would recommend.
Awesome.
All right, Jess.
Well, I think I have to talk next about the West Wing because Hannah has just finished binging like the whole show.
Oh,
I got up to about season six, I think, this year. So there's a bunch of, I think, Thanksgiving episodes in it, but the one that I remember is the one with the Butterball turkey. And if anybody listens to the West Wing weekly podcast, that is where he gave him the knife came from. Because the B plot for the whole episode is the President Bartlet keeps giving his assistant Charlie, he's trying to get him to buy him the perfect carving knife for him to carve his turkey with. And he
yeah.
keeps coming in with like, here's this fancy Japanese knife and it's got this and it's got that and it's got that. And he's like, no. And then he goes, comes back and he's like, here's this fancy German knife. It does this and this and this and this and this. And he's like, yeah, no. And blah, blah. And he's just like losing his mind. He's so annoyed by the end of the episode. And he comes in, he's finally got this fantastic knife. And he gives it to the president. And he's like to the president, why do you want this knife anyway? Because he knows the president has a knife that Paul Revere made, something like that. I remember it had a Paul Revere connection.
Yeah, I don't remember what the connection
And
was. I
it
mean, I only saw the episode once and I can't really quite remember the details
I'm
of
pretty
it.
sure it was something like, and I don't know what Paul Revere did. Was he a knife maker? I don't know.
You
He had
don't
something to do
know? Okay,
with,
this is
well, I
definitely
know that
one
he
of
had to
those.
do with,
This
I know
is
he had to do with like the
definitely.
war and stuff, but like, I mean, for a day job,
Oh,
what he did as a
okay.
job. I know he like hung a lantern or something.
You
That's
know
about
that much?
it.
Did you know that from like National Treasure? Is that where you're getting that from?
I know. I'd say
I mean,
part of
it
it is
is a
National
piece of it,
Treasure,
National
and the
Treasure.
other part of it is I was reading Rachel McMillan's book the other day, the one set in Boston, and it was
Yep,
talking
about
about
Paul
like
Revere.
the tower and yeah, just kind of pop culture references,
Okay.
but not from a history book because I am Australian and we don't learn
I just
American history very much.
that's curious for me. I was just like, oh, well, I didn't really realize that people didn't know who Paul Revere was. And then I thought about it. I'm like, well, why would anybody else know who Paul Revere is if you don't live in America? But that's true. Okay, anyway, yes.
And so he's like, I know that your family has had this knife from Paul Revere and it's been passed down from generation to generation, and now you have it. So why do you want this knife? And he's like, because I need that knife because I'm giving, it's passed down from father to son, and he has daughters, not sons, and he considers Charlie like family, and so he gives Charlie
the knife.
He gives him the knife. And it became a thing in the Westman Leaky podcast. Anytime something like heartwarming happened, the host would yell, he gave him the knife.
It was seriously it was the sweetest moment. It's the funniest story because it is, it's the beeline throughout the whole show, and you're kind of just like, you just assume that it's the comedy that pulls it through. Now, as a writer, I tend to like find these things probably faster than some other people maybe, but that knife was just like, okay, as soon as you see the knife, you know that it's going to like play a storyline throughout the book. Like that knife is special or this knife is special. And you know that that whole storyline is going to play an important part. But I didn't see that coming. Like, I just thought it as this, like, comedic thing throughout the whole entire story. And I thought that maybe President Bartlett would just be like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll stick with the old one then. I don't know what I was expecting.
Bartlett liked that. Oh. Like, really fussy thing.
Yes, yes. And so I don't know what I was expecting, but the ending, oh, the ending was just so sweet.
Very sweet. And Charlie doesn't have a lot of family, and he looked up to the president. It was very cute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good run.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to take up much time talking about the West Wing since we've already brought up the West Wing, but I do want to mention another West Wing episode that was a Thanksgiving episode, which is the one where CJ has to pick the turkey. The turkey that's going to be pardoned.
And they put the two live turkeys in her office and she walks in and screams. That was good.
It was so funny watching her walk in and then she's oblivious to the turkeys and then all of a sudden she's sees it and freaks out. And why is there a turkey in my office? Two turkeys.
And like all the guys like wetting themselves just outside.
So I mean, literally, it was, that is so funny. But I love that she, by the end of it, is so in love with these turkeys.
Where she's named them. She's named them. She's begging the president to give a pardon to both turkeys instead of one turkey. She tries to buy the turkey.
It was so funny. I think that that was one of the best moments Allison Janney has ever acted on the West Wing. And I say that with, like, a lot of good moments that Allison Janney has ever acted on the West Wing. But that was just to die for. It's one of the most memorable. And yeah, I won't spend too much more time talking about it because the episode is, there's a, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's a great episode. That just takes the cake of the episode, so.
One from my childhood is the Everybody Loves Raymond episode. That was my family's favorite show growing up.
Huh.
Where she wants to have fish instead of turkey. And it was an earlier one. And I knew people ate turkey at Thanksgiving, but I didn't really get it at the time because everybody's like, but it's turkey day.
I know, like, it's not fish day.
It's because her mother-in-law is an amazing cook and she can't compete with Marie's turkey. And so she wants to have her own tradition and she wants to do this fish. And so she's like, she's fighting everybody about the fish thing and everybody's kicking up a stink and nobody's helping her. And she's like fighting her way through this whole thing. And she's like stressed off her nut and she has everything ready and she's almost ready and she just has to put the fish in the oven and she's like, where is the fish? And they can't find the fish. And so they're looking everywhere and she's like tearing the kitchen apart and Ray's looking and then he opens up the dishwasher and there is this steamed fish sitting in the dishwasher and he's like, oh, look, I remembered to put the detergent in for once. Marie like walks in the door like with a pre-made turkey. She was like, oh, I just whipped this up just in case. It was like so annoying, but also saved the day. I think somehow they did still have fish. I don't really remember, but yeah.
I just distinctly remember
Ray opening the dishwasher and there being this giant fish inside of it.
Oh my gosh, that would not. Oh, I would. So, I mean, that sounds exactly to me like a new fashion lutefisk, and to those who don't know what lutefisk is, it's a Minnesota, well, I shouldn't say Minnesota, it's just very in Minnesota, a Scandinavian tradition of how to prepare a certain fish, and it basically is soaked in lye, which is a poison, like it's poisonous, but then of course it's soaked out of lye after that, and it was a way that the traditional Scandinavians used to preserve this fish. And now it has become a tradition to eat it. And I
It's like
seriously
rotten
question
fish.
why. Well, it's not rotten, but it's like certainly, it's like fish jello. I really don't know anyone who has a desire to eat fish jello. And I, well, that's not true. I know tons of people who have, you have the desire to eat a fish jello. I just don't understand why.
Yeah.
This is one of those Minnesota traditions that I am very willing to get rid of. Like,
I can't remember if I mentioned this in the podcast before. There are two Australian comedians that, like, the entire country loves called Hamish and Andy. And they would do these things called gap years, and they would go to other countries, and they would eat. They do cultural eating, and they would eat traditional foods of them. And in their European one, they did lutefisk, and they cracked the can, and, like, the shop owner made them take it outside, well away, and they cracked the can. And you saw these people walking, like, 20 meters away in the background, and all of a sudden they like looked around and were like, where is that smell coming from?
Aww.
And
like
ran off, and Andy had to eat it, and it was hilarious. He did not like it.
No, I mean, I have to admit that lutefisk is, what did I say I was gonna do? I was like, I posted recently about it because I saw one of
the
local churches.
Mom was laughing at that too.
Yeah, one of the local churches is hosting a lutefisk and meatball dinner, which honestly is very traditional in Minnesota. It happens all over the place and a lot. And I just was like, why? Why does this still have to exist? I'm going to start a protest called Ditch the Fish. Ditch the Fish. Ditch the Fish. I know that I will be run out of town by all the Lutherans within a week after that happens.
Oh, how did we get here from Thanksgiving? Do you have any more Thanksgiving things?
Of course I have.
Before I talk about my Hallmark one?
Sure, yes. Okay, well, we've done Gilmore Girls, we've done Friends, we've done The West Wing. Mm-hmm. And so next I'm going to go to a show that we haven't talked about yet. And I did tease a little bit in the intro. It's an episode of Psych, which was a show on USA.
So Jule Hill again.
Jule Hill. Charlie in The West Wing is played by Jule Hill, who plays Bert and Guster. Yeah. And of course,
I haven't actually seen it. I just hear them talk about it.
Of course,
in the Western
Sean comes up with all the different names for Gus. Just like the most dumbest, randomest names. It's hilarious. But either way, there's an episode called, I don't even remember what it's called. I think it's called There Will Be Blood. It's season 3. Is it this one? No, there's another one. Okay, I think I'm getting the name wrong. But it is Sean's. Or not Sean's parents, Gus's parents host Thanksgiving. Now, Gus and Sean have been friends since they were kids. And mm-hmm. So they go and have Thanksgiving, and Gus's dad is accused of murder, essentially. So the rest of the episode is about them solving that. But one of the great things I love about Psych is that Burton, Gus Guster, and Sean Spencer are just hilarious together. I think now going back and watching The West Wing, I can understand a little bit more about how Jule Hill can speak so fast, because he was used to all the Aaron Sorkin dialogue at like age 19. And so by the time he got to Psych, it was just like a toss of a hat for him. I really want to figure out what the name of this episode is, but I will have to get back to you on that. I just remember that being so funny. It was one of my favorite episodes of Psych. So. Okay, I want to hear, though, the Australian thought on Hallmark.
So, when we were talking about prepping for this episode, Hannah asked me to watch a Hallmark Thanksgiving movie because it's a big deal over there. Now, I thought there was one on
my Netflix. I mean, Christmas
Netflix.
Movies, too, but Thanksgiving movies are... I mean, the Hallmark channel just reigns over here.
Yes, it does. I didn't have time to do a Christmas one because I am editing my book this week. So I've been very busy doing that. But I did carve out a little bit of time to try a Thanksgiving one. It turned out the one I was thinking of, it wasn't a Thanksgiving one. It was a Halloween one. But I was like, it's an orange holiday. Like, it's that time of year, you know, they're in the same season. Close enough. So my review is actually about a Halloween Hallmark movie. But it's like autumn, or you guys call it fall, a fall holiday. So I'm counting it.
Colorado.
It was called October Kiss. My Netflix died halfway through it, so I only saw kind of the first half or two thirds or something. But I know that actress and I recognize her straight away. Fans of How I Met Your Mother will know her as Victoria, one of the important women in Ted's life. So, Hallmark, what to say about Hallmark? I am Australian. I am not American. And I respect what Hallmark does because they know what their audience wants. They are very good at delivering it. I heard that they shoot their movies in 3 weeks, I read somewhere, and that is phenomenal. Yep. They don't look like they were shot in only 3 weeks. But I think they make a lot more sense in the American culture. I in fact, enjoy watching them more when I am actually in America, although I kind of still had to deal with a fair amount of ranting when we watched them. I would like to say I very much want Hallmark to make a movie out of one of my books one day. So I am completely in favor of that. Please choose my book and make a movie out of it. I would love that. I will come to set. I am, like, on board. But for the Australian context, I think a part of the reason why it doesn't translate very well over to Australia is because a lot of it is very much on nostalgia and American holidays and traditions and the way Americans celebrate them.
Yeah, I
and
can
Australia
see that.
Celebrates our holidays differently, so we can't connect. I think when people watch it, they're like, oh yeah, I remember doing that as a kid. It's connected to a lot of good memories for people. But in Australia, Christmas is hot. We spend it at the beach, we spend it around the barbecue, in the pool. So we don't connect to all the, like, we see white Christmases in movies and stuff, but it doesn't trigger the same nostalgia for us. Same for Halloween. Australia does not celebrate Halloween despite the shops trying to pretend that we do and decorating stuff. We don't. we don't have Thanksgiving, so they're not memories for us. We have no connection to it. So that's a bit hard for it to translate. And the second part is that Australia as a culture does not do cheesy. I know a lot of people, when we talk about Hallmark with our American friends, they're like, yeah, it's cheesy, but it's sweet. In Australia, there's no but. Like, there's maybe, if it was like, outrageously funny, you could forgive something for being cheesy in Australian context, but that's pretty much the only thing that we just don't do cheesy. as a culture, So yeah, that's why Hallmark isn't in Australia. That's why they kill it in America, because that's what they're talking to, and so they know what it about. They're about. They're not about Australia. They're about America. So cool for them. Still make a movie out of my book. My book is in America. It's got American characters. So, you know, do that for me, Hallmark. But, I don't think they're going to, unless they change, like, their entire recipe for movie making, I don't think they're going to expand into Australia anytime soon.
That's so interesting. And I have to kind of laugh because I was very much so the same way, probably, I don't know, 3, 4, 5-ish years ago, probably 5, 6 now. It's been a little bit longer. But for what I mean, like, I could never get behind the cheese either. Like, there's a certain amount of cheese that I just am like, I can't do this. But I don't know what they changed or how they changed it or why, but I have become obsessed with Hallmark's channel. Like, all the Christmas movies. I think I just want to feel
maybe
like
it's
the
just
spirit
getting
of
a little
Christmas.
Bit older. You like the nostalgia more.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, I honestly have a hard time pinpointing why I love them so much too, but that's a good point. Like, I tend to lean on more the traditional nostalgic side of things, especially when it comes to Christmas. And so their Christmas countdown is always full of, like, sparkly, happy people and, like, I love Christmas and let's make Christmas cookies and I want to play in the snow and go ice skating and make a snowman and fall in love. And that, for whatever reason, gets me every time.
I will admit, the week that I was in Houston on my own, I would go to the Hallmark Channel every night and watch one if there was one on. Mm-hmm. But that week, for some reason, it made sense to me. I enjoyed it. They were entertaining me. The spell was broken when I left Houston and I haven't recovered it since. So that makes me think that maybe part of it's the context. Like, when you're there, it makes more sense. But when you're here, it makes less. Having said that, they have actually expanded to Australia a bit. There are an increasing amount of Hallmark or Hallmark-style movies on Netflix. And, like, there's a few friends at church who are getting into When Calls the Heart.
Yeah.
Because they can watch it with their kids.
Okay,
that is sort of the draw card for some of them. For, like, there's not a lot of super conservative people in Australia, but for the ones that there are, they can watch it with their kids, and so they like that. As I always tell Hannah, I just want to pull Daniel Lissing off that horse and rub some mud on him. His character rides a horse all day. He's been covered in mud. His uniform is like bright, bright red.
It doesn't matter. Brown. He just is so good looking. There's no reason why he needs to put mud on him.
But he'd be better looking with mud.
It doesn't even matter. Like, I just look into his eyes and I know. And it's all good.
Hannah was sending me photos of him with, like, a future. He's making a new Hallmark movie, isn't he? Like,
yeah,
there's a photo with his fake fiance or something for the movie. I got to admit, I saw the words fake fiance and Daniel Lissing, and I was like, okay, talk to me about it when it comes out. I might consider that one.
Yeah, that was a while. I don't know if that's for this season or if that's just for another movie. I don't remember what that was for, but, oh, man, that man, the way he looks at the camera. Just,
yeah, she also sent me like 6 gifts of him giving loving looks to like different leading ladies in his TV shows or movies. That was pretty funny too.
I just have to say, I am not the only one, and he's Australian, so Jess should be way more behind him than she is.
Like, I'm behind it. I just want a little more authenticity. I want to hear his Australian accent in one of them. Come on, Hallmark, get an Aussie hero. You've got the actor.
Oh, yeah, in the movies. I was like, well, watch his Instagram. He's plenty Australian in the Instagram, but...
I want to see an Aussie accent in a movie.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed that Rebel Wilson's new one has her Aussie accent in it. When you see the flashback to her childhood, the movie that's coming out on... we're so off topic here. On Valentine's Day, speaking of holidays... Yes. She has a movie coming out where she hits her head and wakes up in a rom-com.
Jess is
and
so has a excited for it.
I'm not less excited.
I love Rebel.
Liam Hemsworth in it. Come on.
I just am not sold on it yet, but that's partly because I don't like I don't typically handle those like flashback, like Groundhog's Day kind of episodes. I just don't understand.
Oh yeah, she doesn't like messing with time.
Yeah,
I love things that mess with time.
I don't know. I'm not sold on it, but I probably will watch it because it looks like a cute rom-com if it's, you know, kind of geared towards.
Well, when they flash back to her childhood and like the credits for Pretty Woman or something are rolling, her mum is like, she's Australian. Her mum is Australian. Her mum has a super bogan Australian accent when, and then she's like an Australian living in New York.
Okay, for those of you who didn't hear the episode, define bogan again.
Okay, bogan means like the opposite of posh. You're not sophisticated. You probably wear your UGG boots and your track pants or sweatpants, as Americans will call them, to the shops. You are probably a little bit trashy or something like that.
I do have to go back and clarify. I figured out that psych episode and I actually was wrong. It was a Christmas dinner, not a Thanksgiving.
Well, we have a Christmas episode coming up, so that just consider that a teaser, people.
Dun, dun,
there
dun.
Will be a Christmas episode.
I thought it was Thanksgiving. It seemed like Thanksgiving to me, and that's what I remembered. And I haven't watched it in a little while, but anyway, I want to wrap up really quick before we go. I have to bring Friends back one more time.
Of course, they have some great ones.
Okay, can we just talk about the Brad Pitt episode?
Oh, yes. How did I forget that? That is still one of my favorite episodes. I don't care that him and Jen, like, she was now multiple divorces ago. Like, it was funny. And it was especially funny knowing that he was, like, the founding member of the I Hate Rachel Green Club. When, in fact, at that time, he was married to Jennifer Aniston.
It was so funny.
And it was also Brad Pitt at his peak. Like, he walks onto that screen, and I'm always like, hot damn, I forgot how good you were when you were young.
I'm pretty sure that if I would have been in the audience, I would have been amongst all of the people who were screaming probably at 20 minutes long before they could continue the scene.
It was good. It was funny.
That episode had so much going for it, and I love the Thanksgiving episodes of Friends because they planned out these Thanksgiving episodes as what they call bottle episodes, which basically means they don't have to – there's not a lot going in. They have all 6 characters basically in the same room. The whole time.
They don't tie into other episodes.
And it's magic. And you know what the really cool thing about that was? Is that the first episode that they did Thanksgiving for was them trying to find the money in the budget to do, like, because they knew that they needed more money in the budget to make more sets or go do other scenes elsewhere. And so they specifically were like, okay, well, we got to come up with a couple of episodes where it can just be, like, just them in a room. And that was one of the first things that they did, is that Thanksgiving episode. And it continued on through the series. And every single Thanksgiving is a really fantastic episode. I think the one with Brad Pitt is season 7, I want to say.
No, because it was Ross and Rachel were together, or they were on the verge of getting together.
Rachel was pregnant.
Oh, she was
so
pregnant.
It would have been season 8.
That's right, because he gives him a high five for being pregnant, not
wearing it. Yep, that's right. So season 8, and it's funny. I love the fact that, like, it's, that whole episode, I just remember Ross, like, just slapping, was it Ross? Slapping, like, mashed potatoes down, like, really firmly, and there were so many different good
like
ones.
Ross.
Yeah, something about exchanging them. Oh, something about, I don't remember what it
yams.
Was.
Yams. He keeps going on about yams. Oh, and Brad Pitt can't eat the yams,
because
he used to be as bad as Monica. Yes. And then he gets stressed from Rachel, and so he's like hooking into the yams and
bring on the yams.
I don't even know what a yam is. Is that like a sweet potato?
Yeah,
it's, but you have sweet potato as well. They're the same thing.
I think a yam is like a. I mean, I could be wrong, but it's like overall, like a, you know how like a square it's can like be a rectangle or a rectangle can be a square? It's like a yam is like the over umbrella that talks about like squash and sweet potatoes and all the other, like, you know, a gourd.
Okay, cool.
I could be wrong. Maybe a yam is a yam and I just don't know.
Tell us, people. Look it up and tell us, what is a yam?
Yeah.
Educate these poor Australians.
And then tell us, too, what your favorite Thanksgiving episodes are. We have so many more that we could have talked about, but we know that you guys have more, too. And I always love a good, like, holiday-themed episode.
Yeah, share your gifts on Facebook. We've gotten some hilarious ones.
Yeah.
Love that conversation.
So we should probably wrap it up. You guys are, if you're listening to us on Thanksgiving, well, good for you. We hope that you are not doing this to avoid your family, to go hang out with them.
Okay, we'll see you next time, guys.
Yeah, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.
Hey, guys, if you want to continue the conversation, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/storynerds and on Twitter at storynerds_chat.
Or you can find us individually. I am on Instagram and Facebook at Jessica Kate Writing and on Twitter at JessicaKate05.
And I am on Instagram and Facebook at Hannah Davis Author and on Twitter at Hannah D Author. Join us next time to tune in and nerd out.
Bye.
Bye.